Hayley's going to do our reading for
That's
us.
me.
Thanks, Hayley.
Yeah, so today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. And I'm reading from the NIV version. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Thanks be to God. And now we're going to hear from Emma. Emma leads up CAP in Scotland. She is just wonderful. She has got three kids who are currently all at home, and she's definitely finding that a bit full on. But she's just really amazing, and she's got a Northern Irish husband, so I feel very connected to her. So we're going to hear from her as she speaks to us.
Hello and welcome. I'm Emma from Christians Against Poverty, the UK's largest Christian debt and poverty charity. Thank you for joining me today. I'm sure, like us, you're deeply concerned as the economic tsunami of COVID-19 begins to hit us across the UK. Just last month, a young couple contacted our helpline. They just had their second daughter during lockdown, and they received the news that they were dreading, both their jobs on a redundancy list, worried about how they would make ends meet and the debts starting to rise. Perhaps you have family or friends in that situation whose jobs are threatened, who feel uncertain, hopeless for the future. For many people, it's as if the clock has stopped at 10 to midnight in the dark and dead of night, and they have no idea when morning is going to come. Today, I want to talk to you about hope, hope in the darkness. We're going to look at what God has done in the past and what he's doing now through ordinary people just like you and me to bring hope. I'm going to introduce you to an amazing lady called Sharon. You do not want to miss her story as she shows us what it looks like to have eternal hope come flooding in to her life and the darkest of situations. During his time on earth, Jesus was all about hope, especially for those on the margins of society. As he began his ministry, he described his mission through the words of the prophet Isaiah on the scroll that he read in the temple. We read these words in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. You can hear the hope in those words, can't you? Good news, recovery of sight, setting people free, the year of the Lord's favour. Freedom, hope. Jesus clearly articulates his manifesto through these words. And as we read the Gospels, we know that this is exactly what he does with his time here on earth. It's what he called his followers to do, and it's what he still calls his followers to do, you and me, to be hope and light in the darkest of places. 200 years after Jesus read those words, the early church faced its own pandemic crisis, the plague of Cyprian. This ravaged the Roman Empire. And just like today, people were scared. People lacked enough basic provision. People were sick and died. It was a very dark time. The fledgling Christian communities had a choice to make in those moments? What did it look like to bring hope? What were they going to do? What they did was so radical, so powerful. Historians suggest that it's responsible for the explosion of Christianity across the Roman Empire. But what they did wasn't complicated. They did exactly what Jesus called them to do, to be good news, to be hope. They started reaching out, caring for the sick, providing them with food, giving sacrificially of their time and their money. You see, it was the followers of Jesus who rose up and rather than being overwhelmed with what they saw, step away from it, they absolutely stepped towards it and began to offer help and hope and light into those situations. It was the practical support and the good news of the gospel together that they brought. And as the Christians noticed the poorest, the world noticed them. The growth in Jesus' followers from this point in time onwards was vast, and Christianity began to spread. And here we are today, facing another pandemic. Yet again, people are scared, lonely, isolated. They don't have enough basic provision. People in your town, perhaps people on your street, people without hope. Here at CAP, we've been providing our in-depth debt help service for almost 25 years. We know the hopelessness that debt and poverty wreaks on people's lives. The combination of our central debt teams and the compassionate, caring church partners come together to bring workable debt solutions for people, but they also bring friendship, support and care that's just so needed by so many people. Through our work, we see almost 2,000 families go debt-free every year. We see many hundreds of people explore the true meaning of Jesus's love for them. And we also work to deal and help people tackle the true causes of poverty, joblessness, life-damaging habits, life on a low income. We help people to set goals and reach them. Our research paper, Life in Lockdown, found that the pandemic has been a harder experience for those already living in poverty. 1 in 5 clients had no internet access at home, robbing them of vital connection to loved ones or access to essential services like benefits. 7 in 10 clients already felt lonely or socially isolated before lockdown began. Like the story of a single mum of 4 children in a high-rise flat at the height of the pandemic. No outside space, no internet provision. Struggling to put food on the table, her debts were mounting. Can you imagine the stress and anxiety of that situation? The fear, the darkness. What if, in the months and years to come, the local church was known as the place to get help? What if the local church was known as the place where the dawn of hope and light could come flooding into people's lives again? This is the vision at the heart of CAP. A vision that says practical support and the love of Jesus go hand in hand. A vision that says the local church is the hope that society needs. A vision that says hope to a world in darkness is you. You have the opportunity from your home right now to bring hope into somebody's life. What does that hope look like? Let me introduce you to Sharon, and she can tell us something of her story.
Back in the past, when I was all on my own, I mean, I thought that there was never any hope, and it was always dark. I never thought like God would ever be able to use someone like me. Even though like things that's happened to me, it still felt like God had his hand on me. Through the situations that I've been in. So to me, that's always been my dark side of my life. It's, yeah, sometimes it catches up with me, but now it seems like now I'm living in a brighter, more bigger, more colourful life. So to me, it is like night and day.
My ex-partner wouldn't let me have any money, so that's the reason why I had to take out loans, and he was taking out loans in my name as well. So yeah, it was all down to me. That's how I started to get myself in trouble. It was because I had 7 kids. That's one of the reasons back then how I didn't why I couldn't do work, because I was either pregnant or they was all still little and I couldn't work. And I felt I was stupid anyway, because he used to tell me I was stupid, I was fat, I was ugly. And he used to manipulate me like that, so I was underneath his control until I used to run away for a little while, go into a hostel. And they only used to turn up outside the hostels, and the hostels couldn't have the other women in there frightened, and I had to go back to him. I had nowhere to go with the 7 kids. So, and then that's when I started to get like a private place to live in. And then, of course, as soon as I got that, that's when the letter started coming. Letitia actually answered the door to the bailiffs, and they come into the house. I hid in the bedroom, on the bedroom floor, curled up in the corner while they was actually taking my stuff out of the house. So hard for me to actually see that happen. And they were saying, "Mummy, help us. These men are taking our stuff." I was saying to them, "You can take the washing machine, you can take that, but just can you leave the kids' stuff alone?" They wouldn't. I hate going back there. I didn't want to live no more. How am I going to get out of this situation? And then I met this lovely lady called Esther. She was amazing, absolutely amazing. And I started telling her bits about my story of my life and stuff like that. And she said, "Oh, I can help you. This come through today." She goes, "I'm meant to help with your debts, and there's not a cost. It's done by a charity." I was like, "What?" I was like, "No, that can't be true." So she goes, "Right, I'm going to put your name forward." But it seemed like it just happened just like that. Happened in weeks. I was like, wow. And I had my first appointment, and Catherine, when she come in, she could see there was no lights in the sitting room, the curtains was closed. I had 3 bags of the Shop for Life bags, and big bags. I had 3 of them full of letters that's not even been opened. And yeah, and Catherine said, "Don't worry, we're sorted for them." And then just before they was leaving, they said, "Can we pray with you?" I've never prayed before in my life, never. And the warmth that come off of them too when they was praying for me was unbelievable. The only thing I could do was curl up and cry, because I just felt like, wow, what has just happened to me? I just felt so warm, and I felt like how much they actually cared for me. They gave me all the options, they gave me everything, every inch of the way. They was just in contact with me. Catherine was in contact with me, telling me what was going on, everything. I was constantly with her. Like, she didn't leave me. She didn't leave my side, or did Carol. I've been debt-free now for about just over 6 years. And them 6 years has been the best, I've got to say, the best time of my life, because I've got family, I've got friends, I've got all sorts of stuff now, and I've actually got a life. I'm walking my life with God, and yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
What a story. What a story of hope and transformation. Sharon's story reminds me that hope can triumph in even the darkest of situations, that, like she describes, a more colourful, brighter life is available. John Kirkby, the founder of CAP, knows firsthand the darkness of debt and poverty. And from that, him and his wife, Lizzie, began CAP in their bedroom office. Now, almost 25 years later, it's a national movement made up of partnership with nearly 600 churches, people just like you and me, ready to bring life-transforming hope to over 20,000 people every year. A movement that's ready for such a time as this. In the months and years to come, the local church, that's you and me, we're going to be needed like we've never seen before in our lifetime. Demand for our services at CAP was rising before the pandemic hit. But right now, we are preparing for a significant increase in demand for help. Between March and August this year, the number of people claiming out-of-work benefits rose by 1.4 million. That's 1.4 million people who've seen their incomes plummet, their livelihoods taken away, debts start to rise. Perhaps that's you. If it is, please note down or take a photograph of our free phone number that's now on the screen. Please call us and let us talk to you and see if we can help you. As followers of Jesus, we must act now. Just like the early church, each of us must rise up and come together and be what our nation needs, practical support and the good news of Jesus. We're only able to help people like Sharon because people like you choose to give the gift of hope through your donations. We might all be spread at home. We might never meet. But CAP is a picture of the extraordinary things that God can do when his people come together. So far in 2020, over 34,000 households have chosen to give a donation to the work of CAP. That's meant that so far we've seen 1,618 families go debt-free this year. Families have light in the darkness. If you're one of those households, thank you. Thank you so much. Your giving has transformed lives. But we know there are countless more precious people like Sharon who are still trapped in the darkness. People who are missing meals daily. People going without gas and electric. People who are dreading the cold, dark winter months. And so I want to ask you, will you give the gift of £12 today? Your gift of £12 could help the next person like Sharon that contacts us for help. That could be somebody in your town, someone watching this service right now. Your gift of £12 could enable us to answer that call and help that person to begin their journey, begin to be the glimmer of hope in an otherwise dark sky. As our time together comes to an end, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for Sharon and the incredible transformation in her life. We ask for continued protection over her and her family, and that she would feel your presence, Jesus, even in the difficult moments. We thank you, God, for the calling and passion of her local church. Thank you, God, that they were able to be a beacon of light and hope to Sharon and to the others that they are working with. Lord, we thank you for each and every person watching this service. Thank you that they are your hands and feet here on earth. We thank you, God, for every action taken after watching this service, every pound donated. And we ask that they would change lives in your mighty name, Jesus.